Well, let's pray together. Let's turn to God in prayer. Father, help us, we pray this morning, to be in the right frame of mind, heart and spirit, Lord, to hear and to receive thy word. We pray, Lord, that thou teach us out of it, O Lord, and make us, we pray, more of a discerning and perceiving people, particularly in terms of thy presence, Lord, amongst us in the sanctuary. Help us to be able to recognize our Saviour when he's in the midst of us. So do hear us now, we pray, and do help us. Help both preacher and hearers alike. We ask it in his name and for his sake. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, dear friends, I'd like to take as my text this morning, John chapter 21 and verse 7, at least a part of that verse, and also we'll be looking at some of the words in verses 4 to 6 as well. But it's a particular phrase in verse 7 that caught my eye last week, struck me. So that seventh verse reads, "Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord, it is the Lord. And when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked," although at least some of the commentators say that he wasn't completely naked, he was, no doubt he had something around his middle, even though he was fishing there in the boat. So perhaps not completely naked in that way, but semi-naked, if you like, while he was fishing. And he cast himself into the sea. So, dear friends, we are here in John's Gospel this morning, the 21st chapter, and in this seventh verse, not beginning with the whole of it, just that phrase, "It is the Lord." But also we're going to look at some of the verses preceding this one, from verse 4 and following. Now, you notice here that that disciple whom Jesus loved, and we all should know who that was, that of course was John, the Apostle John. John was so self-effacing and humble in his gospel. He'd never directly mention his own name, but always in this kind of way describes himself in this way, that disciple whom Jesus loved. So whenever you come across a description like that, it's a reference to himself, to John, to the Apostle John, the evangelist who wrote this gospel. It shows how humble a man he was, how spiritual a man he was, not drawing attention to himself, not giving himself a name, but seeking only to give the name and the preeminence to Christ. But here, John, in this verse, you notice, says these words to Peter, Simon Peter, the Apostle Peter, "It is the Lord." Just it's a very short thing that he said, but it is very striking, and it's very lovely, the way that he recognizes Christ at this time. This is after our Lord's resurrection. It's one of his post-resurrection appearances to these men, to the disciples. And they're slow to recognize him, but John does in the end, because he was quick of understanding, quick to perceive, quick to discern. And as soon as he does, he communicates it to his friend, because these two are very close, Peter and John, that it was the Lord. "Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter," it is the Lord. And particularly to Peter, because of his denying Christ before our Lord's death. And when Peter hears this, it was the Lord, although John very often is the first in understanding, Peter, in his impulsive way, is very often the first to act, because believers are different, aren't they? Some are more discerning than others, some are more active and practical than others. So when Peter hears that it's the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and had cast himself into the sea. "It is the Lord," John said to Peter. And by that he means, Peter, the man there, that individual, that person, that stranger who's been standing there for some time, that so far we've not recognized, that person there on the shore, on the beach of the sea or the Lake of Tiberias, that is the Sea of Galilee, that morning it is the Lord. Some render that our Lord. It's your Lord, Peter, my Lord. It is our risen Lord, the risen Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. So, as far as John was concerned, and to Peter, this was a time of revelation to them. And it was a time of communication also, as John communicates this discovery that it made in one way or another to the Apostle Peter. It is the Lord, recognition of the presence of Christ. And you not only have this here after the resurrection of our Saviour, you also have it a number of other instances too, don't you? For example, in the life of Mary Magdalene, she says something similar in John chapter 20 and verse 16. In the previous chapter then, Jesus said to her, because up until this time she thought that he was the gardener, this is just after his resurrection, says, "Mary," and that did it, just his saying her name. And then perhaps kind of a special revelation to her, her eyes being open, or her looking at him again and discerning him at last in his resurrection glorified body. She turned herself and saith to him, "Rabboni." There it is, Rabboni. It is the Lord, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. She recognizes him, recognizes his presence at last. And also you have it in the case of Thomas, John chapter 20 and verses 27 and 28, where we read these words. "Then saith he to Thomas," Christ said to Thomas, because up until this time he hadn't recognized the resurrection of Christ, and the person of Christ, "Reach hither thy finger, behold my hands, reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side." And Thomas, "Don't be faithless any longer, but believing." And Thomas answered and said unto him, "My Lord and my God." I don't know any other instances where this happens. You know, in the New Testament where people haven't, up until a point, haven't recognized Christ and suddenly they've recognized him. But at least as far as the post-resurrection appearances are concerned, these are the ones that that I think of that are like this one here in John chapter 21 and verse 7. And my dear friends, the challenge and the question for you and me this morning, I think, is this. John says to Peter, it's the Lord, he recognizes him. Do you, dear brother and sister in Christ, do you recognize, spiritually recognize and discern and perceive the Lord, your risen Lord, at any time? We'll come to look at the ways in which we can recognize his presence. You recognize it at any time in your life, but particularly do you discern him, and do you know how to discern him in the means of grace, in the public services, in the meetings of the church from Sunday by Sunday, and also the midweek meetings too? I think there are a number of ways that we can see here by which we can discern and recognize and perceive God in the midst of Christ, in the risen Christ in the midst of us by his Spirit. I think this comes out in this passage here. Now we might say, we might recognize it's the Lord. It is Christ amongst us. It has to be. We recognize it. We are conscious of it. We know a felt Christ in our preaching and in our praise. Well, what does the passage here? So we're looking now at verses 4 to 7. Teach us about this. I think it teaches us this. That first of all, I don't know about you, but I feel that really both of them, and indeed the disciples who are with them, and that was Nathanael and James, and there were two others who are not named, that these men, these disciples, should really perhaps have recognized, discerned and perceived Christ just simply by his presence, just by his being there, his physical presence and his spiritual presence that morning, but they didn't. Secondly, I think that they should have recognized him by the sound of his voice, by the sound of his voice, especially as it came over the water of the Sea of Galilee. They weren't all that far away from land. And they heard his voice, but they didn't recognize it for whatever reason, for different reasons. We should. They should have recognized him also by his words, the actual things that he said with that human voice that he had, but they didn't. But then at last, John did recognize him by his work, by what he actually did, his miracle that morning. And finally, Peter recognized him through John's quick-sightedness and being quick of understanding, not being slow of heart to believe, but being quick of heart to believe and communicate what he had discovered to the Apostle Peter. So I want us to look at these few things this morning, that we might recognize Christ amongst us, and know how to recognize Christ amongst us. So first of all, in verse 4, we have John. I feel that John and Peter, you might have another view of this because of mitigating circumstances and factors. I think that they should have recognized and discerned the Lord Jesus Christ just by his physical presence, perhaps even by his spiritual presence that morning. But I'm afraid they didn't. We read in verse 4 these words. We read that that morning, when the morning was come, after a long night of fishing and taking nothing, we read that he stood on the shore. And the apostle here by those words means something like this. When the morning was now come. So the morning of his post-resurrection appearance of Christ, when these men had been fishing all the night and had taken nothing. The very next morning, our Lord Jesus Christ in his resurrection body, this physical and glorified body, there he is. He stands on the shore or the beach of the sea or the lake of Tiberias or the Sea of Galilee in that region. But for some reason, they didn't know that it was him. And of course, many of the commentators give lots of different reasons why they didn't recognize him. But I still feel that they should have done. Now, don't they say that because they were very tired, they were very weary after a long night's fishing, and they couldn't be bothered to turn their heads or to lift up their heads and to scrutinize him and to see that it really was him and to recognize it, recognize his face, to recognize his form, recognize his body, even though it's a resurrection body. It had been similar to the physical body that he had before his death. Perhaps it's through disappointment and dejection, because they hadn't taken anything, caught anything. Perhaps it's through lack of light, some commentators say, because it was morning. I don't know how many of these reasons really hold water, to be honest with you. Another is the distance from the shore. They were 200 cubits from the shore, 100 yards or 100 metres. Or it might have been some other reason. But for myself, I don't really feel that any of these reasons really hold water. They weren't far away. He wasn't far away from them. Their boat was only about 100 yards from the shore. And there he was. And they did recognize him later. They could have recognized him then. And it was morning. Some commentators say it was twilight. But we don't know that. It could have been quite a nice, bright morning. So I feel that they should have recognized him. They should have recognized his physical presence. Recognized him through that. You have something similar, don't you? But here, because their eyes were withholden. In Luke chapter 24 and verse 16, with Cleopas and another of the disciples, the two men on the road to Emmaus, we read in that verse that their eyes were holden, that they should not know him. And therefore they didn't recognize the Lord Jesus Christ, even though he'd been walking with them. And even though they'd had fellowship with him that evening. And also John 20 and verses 14 and 15, in the case of Mary. And again, there could have been reasons why she didn't recognize him. Because she was so upset, because she'd turned away, she was embarrassed because of her tears, thinking he was a gardener and so on. So it's the same thing with her. When she'd said thus, when he'd been in the garden, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if you have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. So you could give reasons why they didn't recognize him. But I don't really feel that those reasons are very good ones. They should have done. In the case of the disciples, if they could have been bothered to look and to screw their eyes up and scrutinize him, they'd have recognized him. Mary would have done too. Cleopas and the other, if God had opened their eyes. It's one of the ways we recognize Christ. They should have recognized Christ by his presence. By his presence, all divine. By his physical presence. What about us, my dear friends? Do you recognize Christ, our risen Lord, by this? Not by his physical presence anymore, because he is risen, he's ascended, he's glorified, he's at the right hand of the Father Almighty. But you recognize him by his spiritual presence in the means of grace. Do you sometimes say, as you're sitting there, as people have done in the past, you know, when God has drawn near, particularly in times of reformation and revival, just like John, that they have kind of blurted out and shouted out, it is the Lord, the King of glory. You know, the King is amongst us of a truth. That God is in the midst of us. Christ is here by his Holy Spirit. Or that we may discern him and perceive in that way. Because why? Because he is here in the midst of us. And if not, my dear friend, well, he is in the midst of us. He's where the two or the three are gathered together in his name. But let us pray for more of a sense of his presence. We might recognize him, say like John, to one another, it's the Lord. The Lord is here, like the hymnist says, and oh, how dreadful is this place. So I think they should have recognized him by his presence. And if not, my dear friend, surely they should have recognized him by his voice. Again, no doubt, perhaps his body had changed in some ways, been a glorified body. But what about his voice? No doubt his voice had changed from when they heard it last, there upon the cross, and it would have been very hoarse. But they'd have known his voice over those last few years, those 3 years teaching them and working miracles, calling Lazarus forth out of the grave and the sepulchre. But they still don't recognize even his voice. He says two things, doesn't he? In verses 5 and 6. Firstly, he says to them, children, lads. They should have recognized not only his voice, his actual voice, his physical voice, really, but even the tone of his voice. The tone was familiar. His tone was tender. But again, perhaps for the reasons that I've already given to you, their tiredness and their dejection and their disappointment, really, they're switched off. They're switched off in terms of wanting to see. They're also switched off in terms of their wanting to hear. Children, have you any meat? Have you caught anything? Do you have any fish? Do you have any food? Have you caught anything edible? Of course, they hadn't. Secondly, he says to them, cast the net on the right side, on the starboard side of the ship, and ye shall find. But in spite of the fact they heard his voice, they didn't recognize it. And again, it's the same with Mary, the same with Cleopas, and also it was the same with others, even after his resurrection, some doubting that it was really him. I was thinking of that verse in John chapter 10 and verse 27, where Christ says, that chapter all about his being our shepherd, our great chief and good shepherd. He says, my sheep hear my voice. Of course, that's in terms of his spiritual voice, the Spirit going out and effectually calling people to repentance and faith. My sheep hear my voice, they recognize my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Surely, my dear friends, these disciples didn't have any good reason not to recognize him on account of his voice. They really should have done. Reasons why they didn't. But they should have recognized his voice. Well, my dear friends, this is another way in which we know or we can recognize our Lord in our services or at any time. Because we recognize, we discern his spiritual voice to our souls. Especially in meetings, the preacher is preaching, you hear his voice, but between the lines, and as it were, coming to your soul, coming to your heart, you hear God speaking to you. You hear the Lord Jesus Christ speaking to you. Have you heard the voice of Jesus, not the voice of the preacher? You heard the voice of Jesus softly pleading with your heart, sinner, but also saint as well. That's how we know. That's how we recognize him. We hear him speaking to us. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And therefore, my dear friends, before every single meeting, you should be asking for that sense of the presence of God, and you should be asking to hear his voice to your heart, to your soul, to your spirit, that you might say, you might have the joy, the joy that John had, you can just hear the exuberance of it, it's the Lord. Should have recognized him by his presence, should have recognized him by his voice. But at last he did, through his work. You might say, yeah, God was there, felt his presence, and he really spoke to me this morning, really convicted me of one thing or another. He really encouraged me, he corrected me, and so on. He guided me in some way or another. I really heard his voice. It's when we recognize God is amongst us of a truth. Thirdly, my dear friends, I really feel that these two and these others should have noticed Christ, or recognized Christ, not only by his actual physical voice, but by the very things that he said with that voice. He said to them, so I already mentioned, children, have ye any meat? Secondly, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. Children, lads. Again, familiar, tender. Have you caught anything? Have you caught any fish over the past night? Perhaps they would have thought that he wanted some. Perhaps he wanted to buy some from them. Cast the net on the other side, and you will find. Do you feel, my dear friends, they should have recognized him? Not only by his presence and by his voice, but by these words. And had the Spirit of God, they kind of intervened at this time and opened their eyes and opened their ears, they would have done. And he's the Spirit of, he's the remembrancer, isn't he? Surely they would have remembered John 13 and verse 33, where he called them children, little children. Term of endearment. Yet a little while I am with you, you shall seek me. And as I said unto you, unto the Jews, whither I go, you cannot come. So now I say to you. And surely they should have remembered 3 years previous to this, 3 years earlier. Luke chapter 5 and verse 4, similar incident. He said a similar thing to them, similar thing to Peter. John would have been there as well. When he had left speaking, he said to Simon, when Christ had left speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep, Simon, and let down your nets for a draught. They should have recognized him by the things he said, because he had said these things to them before. And now he was saying these things to them again. Dear friends, we can know the Lord's presence by hearing his voice and by hearing his word to us. That's his word that we've heard before, and we hear it again. His Spirit reminding us of things, pressing things home to us. Just showing that God loves us and that we're dear to him. But also the way in which he guides us through his word, just as Christ here was guiding them to cast the net on the other side of the ship. In services, God guides us. He speaks to us. He directs us. He leads us in the way that we should go in our decisions. It might not be through what you're hearing in the sermon. It might just be quietly, so say between the lines, or just the way God is speaking to you, as it were, behind the scenes in your soul. He guides you. He helps you to make decisions. He helps you to see what is right and wrong in your life. He instructs, he encourages, he corrects. When that is happening, when that spiritual exercise, the spiritual activity is going on, my dear friends, it's the Lord. And you can say that. Yes, God is amongst us. We recognize he is here by his presence, by his voice, and by his word to us. By his word to us, guiding us and encouraging and correcting us. In penultimate, my dear friends, at last, in verse 6, we see that John here did recognize Christ. How did he do it? Well, through Christ's work. And this is a sign here. This is a wonder. This is a miracle that he works here. We read that they let the net down, and then they weren't able to draw the net for the multitude of the fishes. They could let it down, but they couldn't take it up because of all the fishes that were caught in the net. 153 large fishes. And for all that there were so many fish in the net, it wasn't broken. Again, they could have perhaps seen that the Lord was there through the preservation of their net. He was looking after them. Similar back in 3 years before this, we read in Luke 5 and verses 5 to 8, Simon answering said to Christ, Master, we've toiled all the night and we've not taken anything. Nevertheless, at thy word, I let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and the net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships. They began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Christ's knees, saying, Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. He recognized again the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ. He recognized his deity, that he was the Son of God by that. And John here, and Peter should have done, but he doesn't yet. John recognizes Christ by his deed here, by his miraculous work, catching all these fish. And to this, my dear friends, all the commentators agree, or most of them anyway, Albert Barnes. John was convinced perhaps by the apparent miracle and by looking more attentively on the person of one who had been the means of such unexpected and remarkable success. So again, my dear friends, the distance and the light for me doesn't wash. It is just that they couldn't be bothered to look, and if they had, they would have recognized him. But now, because of this, sparks something off in John. He remembers what happened 3 years previous to this. He looks again, and he recognizes the Lord Jesus Christ. Calvin, he does not perceive Christ with his eyes, where he says, but being convinced that the great multitude of fishes has been brought to him by the hand of God, he concludes that it was Christ who had guided his hands. Gill says this, John knew that it was the Lord, either by some special revelation, like Calvin says, or from the multitude of fishes which were taken, which showed a divine hand and power to be concerned. And finally, Ryle mentions a man who says, Rollock thinks it was the wonderful draught of fishes that made John know it was the Lord. He saw in it not only miraculous power, but wonderful bountifulness and liberality, just like his dear master. John, quick, he perceives at last it is Christ because of the work, because of this miracle. Communicates it to Peter, he at last realizes it too. Dear friends, how do we really recognize and know the Lord is amongst us of a truth? Well, it is by his work in us, his continued work in us, his work of grace, sanctifying us, deepening the work of grace in our lives, giving us a greater knowledge and so on of these things. My dear friends, what you and I want to see in these days is this. We want to see miracles of grace, people being converted, souls being caught in the net, people being saved, people being born again, people being regenerate. And then, my dear friends, we will say, it is the Lord. Who else could do that? Who else could save that soul, could save that sinner? Only he could make that change. Only he could change them. Only he could convert them. It must be God to work such a difference in that person's life and to turn them right around and to transform them into a child of God, into a trophy of grace. My dear friends, pray for the presence of God. Pray that you might hear the voice of God to your soul every meeting. Pray that you might hear him really speaking to and guiding you in your life. But pray most of all that even in these days we might see people being converted. There's nothing more cheering than that. How happy John must have felt knowing that Christ was there. How glad he must have been. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. How glad you and I will be when we see people saved and knowing Christ is amongst us, putting that stamp upon us that we are his people, that we are one of his churches. And lastly, Peter, he recognized him by John's words to him. As I mentioned at the beginning, John always first to understand, Peter usually first to act. Peter, John says to Peter, helps him to open his eyes, that person over there is the Lord Jesus Christ. So John is always very quick like this. It was like after the resurrection, John 20 verse 8. Remember when both Peter and John go down to the sepulchre? John looks in, sees the grave clothes. He's the first to believe the resurrection. Then when also that other disciple who came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. But then Peter is the first to go in, isn't he? Man of action. But Peter's eyes were opened by his brother. He recognized Christ's presence through what had happened to John. And John speaking to him in this way and sharing with him his discovery. My dear friends, let me say this. One of the ways in which we recognize or come to recognize God in the midst of us, not only what happens to us, not only in the salvation of other people, but his work in the lives of other, in our brothers and sisters in Christ. And sometimes they're alerting us to the fact that God is drawing near. Because sometimes, as I say, we're different. Some of us can be very slow, quick to act, slow to perceive. But other believers perhaps are more spiritual, more sensitive, more tender to the presence of God, the presence of the Spirit, and can discern very quickly when God is drawing near, and tell us and help us to make the same discovery. Do you recognize him by what others say to you and by the behavior of other Christians who may be more spiritual than yourself or myself? So we looked at this morning, my dear friends, John 21 and verses 4 to 7. So we've seen that they should perhaps have recognized him by his presence, voice, words, but didn't. We should. Positively, they did at last notice him by this powerful work, which was reminiscent of what he had done before. And by, as far as Peter was concerned, John's word to him. And we should know him in the midst of us, in all of these ways, but particularly by his saving souls. Let's pray in the light of these five things that they might be so. As far as we're concerned, as far as this local congregation is concerned, both now and in the future.